If you have ever been curious about Dungeons & Dragons, or the people who play it, you've come to the right place. Welcome to Ready, Set, Roll Insight, where you will learn how to be a better player and what drew people to the game in the first place. Now, join us for Insight with your host, Daniel Wells.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ready, Set, Roll Insight. I am your host, Daniel Wells, of the Ready, Set, Roll, and with me today I have Sky, our lovable DM from our sister podcast, the Z Team.
Wait, you use your full name in this?
Yes, I do.
Oh. Hello, everybody. I'm Sky, also known as Brandon, and a bunch of other rude nicknames, which I won't repeat. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure, man. And I brought good old Sky here to discuss a very interesting topic that might be, that I thought would be cool for listeners to hear about. And it's basically talking about just other tabletop RPGs instead of the same humdrum D&D 5th edition. Wow, I've already lost my train of thought. Good lord. But yeah, so a lot of people nowadays experience D&D 5th edition. It's the most prominent in the market right now. There's many shows, podcasts, channels on YouTube and the internet that discuss it. But not a lot of the other tabletop RPGs do as successful or play as well in an audio form, which I do find unfortunate because there's a lot of good tabletop RPGs out there.
Oh, you're telling me. Like, honestly, like, there's so many good ones that don't even, like, really use dice. That's 90% all just how you describe how you want to do that. And the game master, I guess, because Dungeon Master is fucking trademarked, was just like, yeah, that sounds plausible or feasible. Let me, I guess, do a check to see. Oh, yeah, the D6 percent chance, yeah. And, like, stuff.
And let's be honest, D&D wasn't this in the boy back then.
Beginning.
The beginning. It used to just actually be armies versus armies.
Warhammer style.
And then good old Gary Gygax went like, well, what if we just had it to where the single person in that army was an important character? And ta-da, we came up with the very first edition of D&D. And oh boy, did it have its flaws.
It had like three death classes.
Yeah, three classes, and two of the classes were actually just the race of people, elf and dwarf.
Yes, my favorite class, dwarf.
Yeah.
Like when you're playing those old Gauntlet Legends game, but it's like, human wizard, elf. And you're like, I guess elf is just ranger or bow lady.
Yeah. But, I don't know if, what D&D turned into for first edition inspired all kinds of other RPGs, but I think it might have helped the market out a lot. You got to tell me, though, what is your favorite tabletop RPG outside of Dungeons & Dragons?
Pathfinder would be cheating, but I really do enjoy vampires. I've played a lot of Vampire the Masquerade. I've played like a lot, but only like 5 sessions, so usually doesn't get you enough in to be like a savant at the game or even just so knowledgeable. I played like 5 sessions in Numenera, and that was a delight. But overall, I'd probably have to go with a better dice system / rolling system is Vampire, through just far better roleplay opportunities because of the dice. Yes, you get nat 1s and nat 20s in D&D, but in Vampire, especially in the newer editions, you get like critical dice and critical failure. So while you may succeed, you instead of just pulling that door open, you may just rip that door off its hinge, or like critical fumbles where you just fail in the most spectacular sense. And that to me is just opens up for so much things. Like, I've done tons of sessions where instead of trying to shoot out the damn light box on the entire district, you whip your gun at it, so you lose both your gun and you take out the entirety of the block as it electrocutes the entirety of it.
Well, that's another thing that a lot of tabletop RPGs have different from each other. Some of them are a lot heavier in the mechanics of the game and the dice they use and the system that sets up the mechanics. And a lot more of them are just, hey, explain your story and we'll roll a dice here or there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think. Like you said, Vampire the Masquerade is very roleplayish, but also requires its powers more than its dice.
Oh yeah, just put yourself in the right spot. Like, honestly, it doesn't matter if you've built yourself for combat, because at the end of the day, you can just build a goddamn gun from scratch and shoot a guy.
But then you have a game like Dungeon World.
Ooh.
Which is a very narrative-based storytelling game where, sure, you have the powers, but the guide who's running it is more like, I want you to tell me the fun stuff you do instead of having to say, I use this ability. And then there's Monster of the Week. Fantasy Flight Games, I think, has a lot of good ones.
Fantasy Flight has a ton of them. Dungeon World's gotten a lot of bad rap recently, but I don't think we need to get into the politics because of that.
Oh, no. We're not here about politics. We're here just about the games, man.
Yeah.
That's all we want, the games. I mean, heck, the Edge of the Empire games, the Star Wars games.
Yeah.
They don't even use... Yeah. Well, not the Starfinder.
Oh, wait, like, yeah.
I'm talking about like the Edge of the Empire games that use their own specialty dice.
Yeah,
to roll games.
I never touched those, so I don't know personally, but I've heard they're just insane and hours of fun.
It's just a bunch of D8s and D12s converted into advantages and disadvantages and success and failure.
That sounds wild.
Oh, it's insane. But it's like, you have to take out of your head, okay, I'm rolling for numbers. Instead, you're rolling for what gives you the best success rate. And it's all about increasing or decreasing your dice in a Star Wars world.
Right.
What's another one that you've had a lot of good experience? I know your dad used to work for Ubisoft, or however that conversation goes.
Nah, he did Wizards of the Coast for a long time and helped with like early Ubisoft. Yes,
so the ultimate conversation starter. My dad worked at Wizards,
so it was fun, right? You know, when your dad works at Ubisoft and then he tells you that he can't be your father unless you pay an additional $5 so he can be an actual parent. It was an expensive childhood. He just did minor works with a lot of books. There's talk that he helped with a lot of the early stuff for Ravenloft. I don't really know too much, but I know he played a lot with us, and he usually used that world as an example, and that was his style. Was the mysterious dark ones not usually revolved around even D&D? Usually, it was just imagine a character you have, and then let's hit up like some crazy zombie-infested town that you now have to rescue, and there's problems going on inside it as well. And then, of course, if he wanted to throw in Barovia and all the shit with Strahd, he could, but honestly, it was just hours of fun with the family, I guess.
Here's another question for you. What, don't get too excited now.
Too late.
What do you think causes the success or failure of a tabletop RPG as a whole?
I think lore, 100%, the world that either has been provided or the restrictions on it. Because a lot of earlier editions, like for instance 3.5, even advanced, they had such heavy restrictions on and rules. Well, there's not really any rules in D&D besides have fun, but within the parameters of what you can create and what's been provided through Greyhawk, through Forgotten Realms, Eberron, all those pre-generated worlds, it allows you to get an idea of what you can create and what you can do within the scheme of things. So if a guy like your wonderful good friend who we played a wonderful campaign or new RPG by the name of Aperture, yes, exciting new, even just a new system for rolling or how things work, and then combine that with something unique for the lore. Like, his magic is completely different from what I've really ever seen before, and that made me immediately be like, oh, I definitely want to play a wizard, but then that was, or the healer, and then that was snagged up very quickly.
Well, I recently did a playtest for his new system.
The Rat Witch Boys? Doctors?
Oh, no, Witch Doctors.
Oh.
I think he's still going to do the Rat Boys as kind of an off thing. Mm. A part of the Aperture system, but basically it's again another interesting magic system where each magic system you can create like 328 different spells per school of magic or class of magic, which made me have to really think outside of the box, right?
I did
like hallucination, and I turned it into more like hypnosis, mm-hmm. like hypnotism and whatnot, and just doing cool stuff with that. And but yeah, no, definitely the lore can make or break a tabletop.
I've been working on and helping Raz with a little bit of his own style of world / campaign / even its own MIDI system that just borrows from 5th edition because it's an easy template. That instead of regular magic, how it works, people can choose a style of magic. There's like tech, there's like the astral, which is like celestial, there's void, which is like necrotic, but it's not inherently evil or good. It's just where the magic comes from. And then borrowing from that is how you get to flavor all your spells. So instead of a wizard who just holds open and chants fireball from a spell, he can straight up just have a flamethrower. And that's how he casts fireball or burning hands. Or the guy from the void, he just, all his spells seem to come out of a little black hole rift. Which creates so much flavor and opportunity for someone to really break down and take away from like the regular fantasy restrictions.
Do you think that tabletop RPGs carry the same sort of thing that video games have? Where you need that lore, but you also need that core gaming loop that you can run through? Or can you just get away with pure storytelling alone?
See, I'm like slightly torn because I like kind of like both styles. I don't mind being thrown into a world and discovering it as you play, but I also really enjoy just spending hours in a menu, in the codex or the journal, just looking through each race's history that exists within the game and stuff, and discovering it on my own. I think I missed your point there, but...
Well, I guess the way I could put it is, in say, Dungeons & Dragons, Pathfinder, other D20 systems like Starfinder, your core gaming loop is use your skills, use your combat skills, and use your social skills. Those are your like core gaming loops. Sometimes you're going to have to talk your way out of a situation. Sometimes you're going to have to fight your way out of a situation. And sometimes you can just go through the story. No problems, right?
Right.
Compare that to something like Death Watch.
Okay.
It has an expansive lore, but that's because Warhammer is just an expansive universe.
Yeah, that's a never-ending fucking thing.
Like, holy crap. But its core gameplay kind of sucks. Mm-hmm. Because it's all it's all percentile based, which I don't much care for the percentile based games where like you have to roll below a certain percent to actually use a skill. They just seem too chance based instead of actually being you have these skills. I mean, the same could be said about Dungeons and Dragons because you're using a D20 and it's hoping for the best.
Anything that could be the most frustrating thing, like even as both a DM and as a person who's played for years, is when you make your character this cool guy or you make him based around this specific thing, like maybe say a rogue is fully good at like picking locks, but the dice just don't agree with you, so you're just shit at that one thing. There's nothing more crushing to the spirit. Yes, there can be funny jokes made out of it, or you can embrace it, but your inner spirit still dies, and that's what can be the most frustrating thing. Or as a DM, when you give this player this cool thing, and the dice just say no, or circumstances just say no, and you yourself just feel like you failed. It can be, it's the most hardy and restricting thing, and destroys me personally. You make a character whose whole thing is just walking into combat and smashing things, and he's kind of a little bit brain dead. That can be fun, but when you don't hit anything in six combat, let alone kill anything, you kind of just, all right, who else can I play?
Yeah. And I think that's just going to always be a thing, as unfortunate as it is. It's always going to be a thing with tabletop RPGs is when you have a system based on dice rolling and everything like that. You know, luck and chance is always going to play a theme.
Mm-hmm.
It can be worse in some more than others. Like in Call of Cthulhu.
Yes.
Those games, you expect your character to die most of the time, yeah. Because you're dealing with Eldritch Horrors that the more you lose sanity, the worse off you get, and there's no way to stop yourself from losing sanity.
You just kind of embrace that your character's eventually going to go insane.
Yes, yes, yes. There's just so many skills you have to track and try to put into, and it just, you're never going to be good at anything. There's no such thing as an average person in Call of Cthulhu.
No.
If you are average in everything, you will not do anything.
You have to be max.
It definitely chops at the legs of the master of none, but better than a master of one. No, you have to be a master of one. Otherwise, you're useless. But in a lot of other games, though, I'm trying to think of another good example that you can be average in something or even have no skill at it at all and still turn out all right. Of course, there's people I've talked to that disagree with that idea. It's like, that person should not be able to use that skill because they are the dum-dum of the party.
Oh, balderdash. I think a person has different experiences through life. Maybe they actually went to school for like maybe 6 years before they dropped out and became a pit fighter. Doesn't mean they're not dumb with their eight intelligence, just means they're a little bit less maybe educated, or maybe just less knowledgeable about the world. Same thing with charisma. I think I've ranted about this before, but charisma does not mean your character is both good-looking and a party talker. You can have an 8 charisma and be the party face for all it matters.
I've been through that many times. Because sometimes the player is more charismatic than the character they built, and it just kind of comes to the front. I don't mean to. I honestly don't. Anytime I do that, but just sometimes you got to pull it out of other people to get them going.
Don't apologize. Everyone's got their own personality and their own spot they land in the party. Doesn't really matter on the character. I'm also a party face, so I tend to take that role just by general. But there are times when I'll full dial back, and I find the session goes a lot more slower. So I feel guilty.
But, you know, sometimes I actually just straight up enjoy, board games that have tabletop RPG elements to them.
Yeah, like through the Call of Cthulhu series, you got like Arkham, you've got Eldritch. Those ones are just a hoot.
Then you got Munchkin.
Munchkin. Love that. Have like fucking 10 expansions of that shit.
No joke. With Munchkin, it's so simple. You just equip the gear and then fight the creature. That's it. You play your cards right, you win. There's no... It's less about chance and more about what skills you have already on the table to go for it.
And how you're going to deal with the next problem.
Mm-hmm. If you blow all your stuff on a level 1 potted plant and then have to go against a level 21 dragon, overkill comes and goes.
You're losing 2 levels.
Mm-hmm.
And bad stuff.
So I guess we'll go on to like kind of the final part of the discussion is what do you think is the best non-Dungeons & Dragons game for easy access, both on money and time spent learning? I know I put a very hard question in front of you there.
I mean, as a guy who is not of the richest variety, I can recommend you finding a website called Trove and finding most of the books you need on Trove get you through. The personal me would prefer you to buy them if you really enjoy it, but if it's your first time trying it, by all means, I say pirate the hell out of it. And if you like it, buy it. Don't waste money, though. But, I mean, Vampire is pretty easy to get into. It's a lot more roleplay, though, so if you're nervous about it, maybe not. Same thing with Numenera. Call of Cthulhu's quite mechanics heavy, as you've previously described.
Yeah, definitely, because some books can just get too expensive, man.
Yeah, I mean, Pathfinder's got 1,000. That's why they just keep it all on one website.
You know what? Actually, I think Pathfinder would be the easiest entry out of all of them.
Mm-mm.
At least for free. The dirty word you used earlier.
Yeah, it's free D&D math, I suppose, if you want to get into. The only thing I dislike about 5th edition is the fact that your character ends up becoming an average Joe despite all their goddamn thing. It's a character somebody has always made before, because there's only 12 classes, and there's only like 30 archetypes now. If you average about 5 per class, I guess it would be like 50, but... Chances are somebody has made that exact combo and race before with that background. With, like, Pathfinder, with 30,000 feats and a million weapons and styles and variations, there's a good chance you're making that character for the first time. I mean, good chance, but not always. And that is one thing I like about it, is it's very, very numbers heavy. So once you get the numbers down... It's just a whole load of fun. And the lore of Galarian is just... It's beautiful. Mm. Yeah.
It is massive. There's so much color and environment to it that it just blows my mind sometimes reading through the lore.
Yeah, you've got fucking androids that exist in that world and barbarians who were just chilling in the plains when the alien spaceships came down. So now you have literally tribal men with laser guns. A crazy thought. Then you've got the Chostans in the far southwest who are just straight up Nazis and have killing operas. You've got everyone's favorite Kingmaker.
Oh yeah.
You've got so much shit in that world to deal with. Like, I like Forgotten Realms because it is always held a special place in my heart through the books, the Jurassic Duarden series, and everything else. But my favorite will always be Eberron. For lore, and if I have to place anybody, you got that cool lightning rail. You've got halflings riding on pterodactyls, talent of halflings. That shit's intense.
Oh yeah, I mean I won't ever lie. Pathfinder and Dungeons & Dragons did come up with some pretty kick-ass lore.
Oh hell yeah! Give me an entire book of just lore, and I will not put it down. That's, and again, that's what makes really a really good tabletop RPG. Actually, that's mainly how I got into Numenera, because Numeria is Pathfinder. Numenera is just like the first three paragraphs tell you everything about the system, and then it immediately dives into like this huge like lore chunk where it's like, you're about to be riding on a desert on top of this giant ass floating airship, but also it is powered by these weird crystals, but also there's mechanical worms that'll come up and attack you, and they're like millions of feet long, and you're like, excuse me? And they're like, whatever you want to do, just say it. And the DM will decide if it's good. And then you get a roll of dice. And I guess you'll see how well you do it. You want to jump through that window? Just tell me how you're going to do it. And we'll see what the repercussions are. And you're like, whoa, that's crazy. I don't even have to think. So much flavor. Give me that flavor. Put a little salt packet on top of my noodles. That's a good day.
Gosh.
More salt in my sodium Mr. Noodles. Brand name.
All right. Well, Sky, we are coming to the end of the show.
Absolutely not. I'm going to rant on for another an hour. Hope you don't mind.
No, that's fine. But, no, I always appreciate having you on and having everybody on who ends up showing up. Do you have a piece of insight to confer to these fine people? As you know, in Insight, we give those tiny bits of info that can carry on to the next person.
Yeah. Next world or character you make, try to manipulate them. Try to think about what can make your character so unique that when you're hanging out with your friends describing them and they've been playing for years, that you describe your character and they go, ah, that's cool. So instead of making yourself an elven ranger with a bow, give themselves like these two weird hand crossbows that also instead fire darts, and they're entirely a dart ranger. I don't know, this is something just off the top of my head. Make your character cool and unique, and that's not saying like every character you make isn't cool or unique, but really try to make it personal. Maybe just make it you. That might be too bland.
use a blowgun.
Yeah, see, that's rad as hell. Make yourself a tribal ass ranger with a small monkey as a pet, like, you know, those like teacup monkeys or whatever.
Yeah.
You've got a little spot in the middle of your glove. He just sits there, and you've got little blowguns. You got wild haired child. You run around in shorts. You're just a fucking primate. Something's destroying your forest, and you gotta find out why. Man, and the flavor with a hail of arrows and zephyr strike with that would be pretty crazy. What's your insight, Dad?
I'm choking.
Oh, that's not good insight. People don't choke. It's my recommendation.
My insight is that free form is best form.
Truly.
But also, find the game that best suits you. Like, if you're reading through all the lore and everything of, like, going on your Wikipedia pages or something like that, and you're reading lore of a tabletop RPG, sometimes the lore will be the draw-in for you. Like, how Vampyre is several councils of vampires who... What is it? Oh, Jesus.
Are you dying?
No, my drawer cupboard just dropped on me and I thought somebody was behind me. Because I was talking about vampires, man. Unholy shit.
Yeah, they don't like that. Yeah, you got the full councils, and you have each clan is several many centuries old, and all dates back, and they have different feuds, and each of them came within the seven big clan groups, and then eventually a couple walked out, a couple, their huge fights. Some cities are completely clanned, and if you're not, you're under hunted, and there's some rebel cities. Like fucking, I think San Francisco is a rebel city.
But then, you know, sometimes, if you just want to play the knight in a in a good old medieval game, that's fine too.
Yeah. I mean, most of the time you have to do with what you're being given. If a bunch of your friends are playing D&D, because it is the most common tabletop RPG in the world, sometimes you just gotta cave in and have fun with your friends. But there's Roll20 now. So if you want to get searching and you want to really start experimenting, it's out there.
Yep, be like those freshman college kids who are new to campus. All the experimenting.
You found a book in your dad's garage that was like a first edition for some weird RPG, and you're like, I don't know, guys, you want to try this? And like, I don't know, we got nothing else to do. It's 1990. Internet's not around yet. And then you find out it goddamn sucked.
I'm assuming that happened to you.
Twice.
Nice.
I can't even remember what it was called. It just had like a demon on the front of the cover, and I was like, oh good, we can really be Satanists now.
So it looked really metal, but it just went meh.
It was actually kind of cool. You actually traversed like all the systems of, or all the systems, all like the planes of hell while making your way to hell. But that was the entirety of the lore, though. It was just like, you start off in the first lair and you have to get to the end lair and kill the end demon. But you can make whatever lair you want and make it personal, I guess. And I was like, I don't know, I'm like 12.
What is demonology?
Yeah, I was going to a Catholic school at the time.
Devil bad. Well, Sky, once again, thank you for coming on and helping me with my inside interviews and all that, and taking a little bit of a deep dive into tabletop RPGs.
Always a pleasure. You know what we should do next time?
Oh?
We should create a character in a system we've never played.
Ooh. Yeah, that might be actually interesting.
Ooh. It's got my my gears turning. Well, it was a pleasure, as always, having me. I love just talking for hours on end, making me an awful interview host or even a guest. Thank you.
And as always, thank you, people, for listening to Ready, Set, Roll Insight. If you're new, if you're old, just always remember, click our show notes. They'll lead you to various... Yeah. If you're old, you're probably not using the internet, so...
If you're old, how's your dial-up? About...
Yeah, how's your dial-up doing?
If you're fucking Raz.
And, yeah, just click the show notes and check out Sky on the Z Team. He is working very hard on that as the showrunner and producer, and he could always use a little more love.
The everything. Yeah. My mini project I wanted to start up a year ago that has taken off my life and $3,000.
Oh, God.
Please buy my merchandise. I'm dying here.
But yes, thank you all for listening and catch you next time.
Bye. Bye-bye.